Welcome to the Grand Point Church Podcast. We're a church serving the South Central Pennsylvania area with a mission to help as many people as possible take their next steps to find and follow Jesus. If you aren't already, make sure to connect with us online through social media or at grandpoint.church and let us know how God is moving in your life. Now, let's check out this week's message from Pastor Lawrence.
Good morning, Grand Point. Hey, welcome into the house today. It is so good to be back here to continue our message series called Get to the Point. And today, Pastor Doug and I are going to be talking about something that is really, really important for all of us, regardless of what age you are, whether you're middle school, high school, college, adult, senior adult. There's something that we do here at Grand Point Church that we want to answer the question, why? So through this whole series of Get to the Point, we are asking the question, why? The first week was, why do we even meet? Why do we come together? Why don't we just do this Christian thing alone, right? Just me and God, my Bible, me and my Bible, right? And just forget, you know, this gathering and all the things that come with the messiness of meeting with other people. Why just not me and God alone? So we answered that question in the first week, and then last week we came together and we answered the question, why do we sing? Why do we sing? And if you missed that, you need to go back and listen to that again, because it's a very important lesson in why we do what we do. It was back in 2009, Simon Sinek wrote a book that was called Start With Why, and that book just kind of hit the leadership market, and it just had a great impact all around. But the idea behind Sinek's book was to get people to action, or to get people to act through the means of inspiration. So in other words, if we sometimes tell people what to do, what they must do, manipulate them, it doesn't work. So if we say, you know, here at the church, if we say, hey, you've got to have a quiet time, right? You've got to spend 15 minutes in the Word every morning. You must do that. Sometimes it just becomes a chore, or it becomes something that we resist because somebody told us to do it. So we kind of like to work through things through an inspiration foundation, and that's exactly what we're talking about today as it relates to our small groups. So we have with us today Pastor Doug Coldsmith. He's the champion of our small group ministry. Doug, tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, and your role here at Grand Point Church.
Thank you. So my wife, Cressa, here, and our two boys, Caleb and Kobe, we started coming here back in 2009, actually, when that book came out. So that was kind of neat. It's been 11 years here attending.
Is Cressa the lady that Chris said he didn't want to associate with?
That's right, yes.
That's right.
So we refer to Chris as Cressa's brother. Older brother, okay. For sure.
She's your wife, so
that's right. Okay. That's my wife. So that's it. So yeah, and a discipleship director invited on staff here for almost 5 years now. So it's been that long. But I oversee our Next Steps initiative here, trying to help people to see the bigger picture of where they can go in their relationship with God. The Celebrate Recovery ministry. I work with an amazing team there that they are off and running and working with people with all kinds of hurts, habits, and hang-ups. It's open to anyone. It's awesome. And then also circles. That's one of the larger things that I oversee and manage here with Sunday circles, our semester-based circles, home and community circles. So it takes a lot of work.
Thank you, Doug, for what you do. We so appreciate Doug's ministry here. And what I want to do is we want to just have this conversation this morning. So this message is a conversation. It's a dialogue. But we want to, again, leave you with the answer to why we do this. So, Doug, there's a lot of churches that have small groups, and they call them all kinds of things. They call them life groups, growth groups, cell groups, whatever. Why do we call them circles? What's the deal behind the circle?
So we had a lot of names at one point, too. We had life groups in Sunday school, and we had life classes, I think, at one point. So what does it mean? I've been looking for a way for us to bring all of that together. And it was back when we had the name change to Grand Point. I felt like that was a great opportunity to say, let's unify with what we're doing in small group and discipleship ministries. And we took the name on as circles. So if you were to look around, there's a lot of circles represented in our architecture. The light fixtures, the drum cage, some other things that you can see, especially when you go around in nature, there's circles represented that have a different function, different size, different purpose, different flavor. And I like to equate that with our circle groups that we have here. There's lots of a variety of different circle groups that meet for a lot of different reasons and purposes, but they're all one thing. It's a circle of friends that get together to do life together. So
it's often been said that we learn in rows, but we grow in circles. So when we're coming here this morning, like we're sitting in rows. Now, for those of you that are watching online, you might be in a circle or whatever formation. Maybe you're like flat out in your bed or something yet. I don't know. But we learn in rows, but we grow in circles. So the idea behind going beyond just this learning experience in a large group gathering into a small group has to do with what we grow. So now small groups, though, are a means to an end. It's not where we want them to end. So we exist. The small groups exist as a way to engage people in biblical community, which helps them to become more like Jesus every day. Now, as we mentioned last week when we were talking about worship, everything that we do here at Grand Point must have its directive or its foundation in Scripture. So when it comes to this idea of circles or small group community, where would you go in the Bible, Doug, to identify that or to create our foundation for that?
I would look no further than the nature of God himself. I mean, we sang about it this morning. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, right? So we worship a God that exists in triune unity, the Trinity, okay? And so there are three persons to the Trinity that we speak of, and he existed forever in perfect community. I love that in Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17. What does he pray for? Jesus thought it was important to ask God for unity among his followers, that they would be one as we are one. So the Trinity is ultimately a mystery. We're never really going to be able to explain it so that we can fully understand it. But Jesus understands it as unity, as oneness. And he wants that for his followers more than anything. He prayed for that. And even more than that, that we would be included in the unity that he and his Father had, that we would be expanding the circle a little bit, and we'd be caught up in that connection with God and with each other in perfect unity. So I think that's huge, and that's important.
So a professor out at Wheaton College, Dr. Belazikian, said one time, he said the community is grounded in the very nature of God. Right, it flows from who God is, and because he is a community, he creates community. It's his gift of himself to humans. And that's an amazing concept to think about, that because if we're created in the image of God, we're created for and in community.
Even in Genesis, we have the passage where God finishes creation, and there was one thing in all creation that was not good, and it was the fact that Adam was alone. There was no one like him. And so in the context here in that passage, it's talking about marriage, but it also shows us that we as humans were created in the image of God, wired for community, and he wanted Adam to experience that loneliness, that there's no one like me. And so out of that, God creates Eve out of himself, out of Adam, and they experience that unity and connection that we all need. We all need that.
So in addition to the very nature of God, is there anything else, like in the working out of, let's say, the New Testament?
Yeah.
Like we're living kind of in the New Testament era or even beyond that, the church age. Is there any examples there?
Absolutely.
Of community?
Plenty of examples. I mean, think about Jesus's ministry. What did he do? He surrounded himself with 12 disciples. Now, that number is significant because of the 12 tribes of Israel. He was restating, reintroducing that and restoring that. But the connection with those guys, that small group, and when I look at that ministry, I say when Jesus formed a small group, that small group changed the world. So I would encourage people, never underestimate the power of your one small group that you can have on our world because of Jesus' example. And then there's also plenty of opportunities in the book of Acts and beyond where there were small pockets of churches. They didn't meet like we do today, different churches in one town. Back then, it was the church at Corinth or the church at Jerusalem that got together. They did corporately, like we talked about last week, but they also did small groups, and they met in each other's homes. Yes.
So that would go to the Acts, maybe an Acts 2 passage, where the Holy Spirit had just come on the church. Pentecost had happened. People are filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonderful signs, wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And here it is. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. Large group gathering, right? Coming together for worship. They broke bread in their homes. That's the small group gathering. And they ate together with glad and sincere heart, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And again, life change happening. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
I love that picture. That's a beautiful picture. It's a window into the church.
It is.
Who wouldn't want to be a part of something like that?
Exactly.
And that's why God added to their numbers daily.
And I think all the things that they were engaged in is what happens when we come together in small groups as well. The prayer, the miracles, the communion, the radical generosity, and of course, eating together, right? That's what happens there. And then proclaiming the good news as they support each other. I think there's a sense in the church where we know this big word called fellowship, right? And we have this idea of what it means, but sometimes I think we refer to fellowship as maybe that casual conversation. Stick around afterwards for fellowship, right?
Fellowship meal.
Or the fellowship meal. And at my previous church, we had a room called the Fellowship Hall. That was just where you ate. I mean, I love going to the Fellowship Hall. But I'm thinking that real fellowship, as it is described in Scripture, is more than that. It's experiencing life together, unselfish loving, honest sharing, practical serving, sacrificial generosity, and all those things that happen right there in the book of Acts. And that's kind of what we want everyone within Grand Point Church to know and to experience. And that happens best in the small group.
When you see these pictures of what's going on in the New Testament church, it was offering something that was totally different than what the rest of society could offer. You could have social connections and relationships with your neighbors, but the church had something different to offer, spirit connections with each other. And that's the bigger essence of what the word fellowship means, too.
The body of Christ is kind of like our own bodies. It's just a collection of many small cells. So when you're a part of the church, you're a part of something that is significant, but to break it down into a cell or a circle is where it really begins to happen for us. So, Doug, I appreciate so much for what you do. I would love to kind of just delve into a little bit more of the purpose behind this and why we do it here. What does it look like for circles to happen here at Grand Point? There's different kinds of circles, right?
Yes.
As you described, we have Sunday school classes.
Yeah.
That's a circle, right?
Yep.
People have connections and community.
I would divide it into three different categories here. We have different types or models of circles. We have connection circles. These are ones where mainly it's just about forming relationships and getting to know each other and forming a connection, okay? So a lot of the activity circles, the golf circle or cycling or hiking or other different types of circles that get together. Maybe our summer circles are a little more laid back, just build on relationships, get to knowing each other. Then we have kind of growth-oriented circles, and that's where I would say a lot of the Sunday circles fall into. Our new semester-based circles, the winter semester that's just coming out, probably one of the easiest places to get connected there. We can hook you up there.
Can we talk a little bit about that?
Sure.
Church, I don't know if you've seen this or not or if you've gotten the brochure, but winter circles are out right now. If you don't know about this, man, make sure you stop by the
That's
hub.
Right.
It is incredible. Doug did an incredible job at putting things together. There's three opportunities for men, I think two for women, one for young families, and several for everyone.
Everyone is invited. That's right.
Amazing. So that's a growth opportunities and a great way just for you to walk in, kind of as a new person, making some connections, building some relationships.
12 different opportunities right there. So that was pretty amazing how all that came together. But you can actually register for that online on our Circles page or just show up on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. So we have lots of nights options for you.
Right. Perfect. Perfect. So we have the connections and then the growth.
Oh, yeah, the
and
third group.
Third is?
Connection groups, growth groups, and then I would say probably a discipling-oriented group. This is probably a group that's a little more intense. They want to join together to help each other become disciples who make disciples. Maybe they're studying evangelism training, or they're holding each other accountable, or they are learning how to reach out beyond themselves to be God's representatives here. So something that challenges us to become more discipleship-oriented or discipling-oriented in our world. So,
yeah. So in our modern culture, this is not something that's like real common. Like we're more isolated, right? Kind of on our own, individualistic. So this group thing is a little bit new, but I would say what you're describing, these relational structures like small groups are an integral part of being the church. And again, for those of you that are part of Grand Point Church, we just want you to know about this and why we promote this, because we want you to have the greatest connections possible.
I think during this quarantine season and this time away from each other has definitely awakened us to the need for relationships and connections. Quick story about the porch, if I could interject that one. That was something that I have a friend that keeps me updated about what's happening at the porch. Here's a group of guys that decided to get together, and they wanted to pour into each other's lives. They wanted to support each other. They wanted to pray. They wanted to study and just do life together in community. Well, they started this, and then the quarantine happened. So what did they decide? The weather was warming up, so they decided to meet on someone's porch. And that was something very valuable they had going on all throughout the summer. Well, the winter season started coming. The colder weather started creeping in. So someone in the group ended up buying a gas fireplace that they put on their porch, and now they're gathering around that, even still, because they value that connection and community that they've experienced. And one of the gentlemen shared that they were kind of estranged from their brother, and so they began to pray for this guy. And just 2 weeks ago, he sent a text out to the group that he was able to reconnect with his brother and share about how God has been moving in his life. So we're seeing real support for real issues happening around that circle. It's pretty amazing. So
I know Penny and I have been involved in several small groups over our lives, but one in particular was with a group of adults, and one of the members was diagnosed with cancer. And it was just a perfect opportunity for us as a group to surround them and just encourage, pray over them. So in the midst of a crisis, man, you need somebody to just kind of lean on and be your close friends. Yeah. And that was such a valuable
I think time. Circles go to a different level when real life happens. Yeah. And when we can be real about it. So a lot of times we want to put our best on. I believe circles are the place where we can take the mask off, where we can just be ourselves and be real and be vulnerable to get the help that we need. So
Dr. Belazikian wrote, and he said, it's in small groups that people can get close enough to know each other, to care and share, to challenge and support, to confide and to confess, to forgive and be forgiven, to laugh and weep together, to be accountable to each other, to watch over each other, and to grow together. Personal growth does not happen in isolation. It's the result of interactive relationships. Small groups are God's gift to foster changes in character and spiritual growth. That's loaded. And in this, you know, we live in this fragmented and disconnected world. I mean, we have social media right now that makes a lot of connections possible. And thank God for social media, because some of you are connecting with us today in that means. And we have a lot of connections out there, but it seems like people have fewer friends than ever before. I mean, we might have a lot of friends on Facebook, but the connectedness and the friendship that allows us to share life like this is not very common.
Yep. I like what Andy Stanley says as well, that small groups, our groups, are places where we can be known and grown. If you just summarize it in one or two that way, where it's a place where we can be known and grown. Because he says this, that you can't grow spiritually until you're connected relationally. And that's what the doctor from Wheaton College was saying there too. And that's the simple definition, a place where you can be known and grown. So
Doug, what if this whole concept feels threatening to someone? Like, I don't want to reveal myself. Like, I don't want to share all this. Or what if I walk into one of these groups, even on a Winter Connection group? Or what if I walk in and they call on me or they ask me to pray or something like that? I have a friend who will not go to a small group because he went once and the group leaders asked him to pray. And he was like totally uncomfortable with that. He didn't want to do it. And he's like, I'm never going to put myself in that situation again. It was too threatening. So could that happen here at Grand Point? Or
I would hope not. Let's just say that. And if you're a circle leader out there, don't put people on the spot by doing that. Take charge and offer that. And here's the thing. It's not going to happen overnight. And sometimes it does. But most of the time, relationships take time. It takes time to build that trust. And so give it some time. Ease into it. And as a circle leader, don't force anything either. Just relax and really center in on getting to know each other and before having those deeper conversations and whatnot. But it's anywhere you plug in, it's kind of like this. Yes, we have people that have had bad experiences maybe with small groups. Okay, I have. But the thing is, kind of like eating at a restaurant. If you had a bad experience at a restaurant, you don't stop eating, right? It's the same thing with small groups. I would encourage you, yes, even if you might have had a bad experience or it's uncomfortable, give it some time. Try something new. Try something different. And you'll find some place where you can belong and find a place that fits.
Here's the beautiful thing about this. Even if you're like a very private person, right, you don't want to bare your soul. You don't want to put it all out there. The rest of the group members still need you. Because you're there not just maybe to reveal everything about you or open up, you know, get all the dirt out of your life, but you're there to really be an encourager and a presence to other people. Would that be safe to say?
Absolutely.
Because there's I look at Scripture and there's like 50 plus one another commands, like, you know, greet one another, share with one another, confess your sins, on and on it goes. So the whole Scripture, the whole Christian faith seems to be designed around this one another idea.
Right.
So people need you.
That's right.
In those groups.
Yeah, definitely go for, get involved with a circle because of taking your next steps, but realize that you could be there to help someone else. It's not just about you. What you contribute, what you bring to the table might actually help someone else to take their next steps with Christ as well.
Another I think this one was when he was at Willow Creek. John Ortberg writes, and he says, God uses people to form people. I think that's what you're saying there. And that's what happens between you and another person when you have that human-to-human relationship. God's using you to form me, me to form you, and that's kind of how it works. So the goal of small groups then is to create these environments where spirit-driven, life-giving experiences can happen with each other. And that's really the essence of the church. I mean, we often think of church as what happens on Sunday morning, and this is a beautiful expression, by the way, of church for those of you online, in-house, just gathering together for the worship experience. But even in addition to this is what happens, you know, when we meet in the small groups.
Absolutely. I also put a plug in for those of you watching online. We have some online circles that are taking shape in this last year. That's a pretty amazing phenomenon, too, that people value getting together, but for whatever reason, they can't be physically in the same place. That's okay. The value of coming together online and sharing life together is tremendous. So we're seeing that happen as well. I love that.
Absolutely. So, Doug, you alluded to it a little bit, but I want you to go a little bit deeper into asking the question, how do we get connected here? So let's say somebody is coming into this church and they don't really know anybody else, don't really know how to form these groups. What have we done to help people make these connections or resources to provide for that?
We've made quite a bit of changes to make it as easy as possible for you. So we tried to keep all of that information centralized on our circles page on our website. On our circles page, you will be able to see all of the groups that are open and available to you. And you can just click on that, read a description, and then email that circle leader who will reach out to you and tell you about the dates and the times and all the details you need to get connected there. Also, for our winter circles, you can download the brochure. You can register right there for the winter semester and get signed up and show up. They started, some of them started maybe last week, but you are still more than welcome. Some of them are starting this week as well. So it's still a great time to get connected to our winter circles. You can do all that on our circles page, or just stop to us. Maybe you're not on to the online thing. That's okay. Come talk to me. I'll be out at the hub. I can get you connected and show you what the options are and help you get connected to a circle there.
So what if I wanted to start one?
Yeah.
Let's say, you know,
I'm excited about that too.
I'm here. I love staying at home. I love just kind of meeting in the homes.
And yeah.
Now, the circle thing here at the church is good. Man, yeah. We learn a lot there. But what if I just want to make a connection group? How do I even begin?
Well, in the last year, we got this box here. This is our circle leader box. And we totally stole this from another church. But
careful, I open this here, Doug.
Absolutely. You can help with us out. It has kind of some instructions, the contents, if you will, a letter from myself about you as a leader. We included a T-shirt, a You Belong
wow,
Here T-shirt.
This. So that's worth it right there.
Right there. You can get your own very own T-shirt that helps people.
So,
right there.
Man, everything in here but
everything
like
that you need
sink.
To start a circle. So there's instruction booklets on how to start an online circle, how to start a circle watch party, how to start a circle. All of the instructions are in there.
There's even a menu in here for a
there's
meal.
Recipes for different snacks and appetizers that you can throw out. There's invite
Perfect.
Cards for that you can use to hand out to people to come to your circle gathering once you establish it. It's all connected in the circle leader
Everything
box.
You need right here.
So if any of you are interested, talk to me afterward. We can get you hooked up and get your circle started.
Perfect.
So made
Perfect.
It as easy as possible.
Well, thank you, Doug, so much for your ministry here. And we appreciate all of you who have engaged in this already, have made this possible, because you're helping to form the rest of the church body just by your engagement in that. I want to wrap this up here with a scripture that I think ties us all together. Some of you know this scripture. It's from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And it's in this passage of scripture where the writer is talking about authentic faith and having the fullness of your faith expressed. And there's an old pastor that I read one time, and I remember this from years ago. He called this the lettuce patch. Right? That's kind of corny, but the scripture says, let us draw near to God. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. And then in verse 24, it's, and let us consider how we may spur one another. Man, that's a cowboy term, isn't it?
Spur it. I
kind
need to spur
digging
once in a while.
In, kind of spur one another on toward good deeds, not giving up meeting together. Now, sometimes we refer to that as just, man, these people that just don't go to church anywhere, right? They should be coming. But I'm wondering if it's more of the in the context of this small group idea, because he says, as you come together, encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And I don't know about you, but I think we're living in a time right now where we need the church to be together. We need the community. We need the mutual encouragement, because of all the things that are happening around us, it can be a very discouraging time. And whether it is the end of the time coming or not, you know, the day is approaching, we just need each other. And that is the reason why we do this. Any final words for us, Doug?
I would just encourage you, like, if you've never tried it, you may not exactly know what you're missing. So give it a shot. Give it a try. Get to know some people. And that's going to make your Grand Point experience, if we can talk about that, is just all the more richer. Yes, worship is an amazing thing that we get to do corporately as a church family here at this location, at this place in the world. But where you actually get a sense of belonging and connection is in a smaller context, in a smaller group.
Well, Doug, thank you so much. Would you join me in thanking Doug for his ministry and doing all this? Appreciate that. I want to just lead us in a time of prayer for Doug and his ministry, and then for you as well, for our church, as we consider this significant connection part of our ministry. And then we're just going to worship together as we close our service. Let's pray together. God, thank you. Thank you for coming into our world, revealing yourself as the one God, but in three persons, a communal type of God. Thank you that you have created us to be in relationship with each other, where you've designed the church to be a place where people gather And this morning, we're so grateful that we can gather either here in this house or gather online with our faith community and just share this time together, share worship together. In a few moments, we're going to pray some more together, but we want to not only learn from each other, learn together, but we want to grow together as well. So my prayer would be, Lord, that you would inspire all of us as members of this body to make these connections in which we help form the body of Christ. We form each other in our growth and as we get to know each other. And so, God, we're grateful again for Doug and his ministry here. Just continue to bless him as he leads, as he shares his heart and his vision for this ministry. And may all of us commit to growing together as the body of Christ so that we can make a better difference in the world around us. God, I pray that you would just continue to bring revival into this place, revival into our church, into our small groups, into our individual lives, so that we would become even a greater and brighter beacon on the hill and a city on the hill for our world to see. God, we love you and thank you again for creating us for this fellowship, your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Church, let's stand together. Let's just sing the song we've been singing the last few weeks, asking the God of revival to pour himself out. We've seen what you can do, oh God of wonders. Your power has no end. The things you've done before in greater measure, you will do. There's no prison wall you can't break through, no mountain you can't move, all things are possible. There's no broken body you can't raise, no soul that you can't save, all things are possible. You can light it up, you can light it up, oh God of revival, let hope arise, death is overcome, you've already won, oh God of revival. It rose in victory. like in the city. God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Every stronghold will crumble. I hear the chains hit the ground. God of revival, pour it out, pour it out.
Just a moment, we're going to leave this room, and I want to make sure that you have an opportunity to worship in our giving. Many of you are choosing to give online. Some of you give as you come in, but we have offering buckets at the back there, and we just would love for you to continue worshiping our giving so that we as a church might continue to serve the community and the world around us. And before we leave today, I just want to call us again to a time of prayer. We did this last week as we just prayed for our nation, and again, this is another big week in our nation as we have the transfer of leadership, and we have a chaplain with the National Guard that's from our church here, and he went to Washington last week, and last Saturday he said it feels like a month that I've been there. He's only been there a week, but it's been pretty intense, and he just sent me this, and he said, if you could pray, as we're meeting here this morning, I told him that we'll be meeting, we're going to be bending our knees again for our nation and for him, and he said this, he said, I'm sure you're already praying that things remain peaceful. That's certainly what he and his troops want. Also pray that we don't have any COVID outbreaks. I already have 7 soldiers in my battalion with symptoms. This is from Brent Mangus, again, one of our members. Brent, if you're online today, we're going to pray for you with this here. And then he also says, pray that I and the other chaplains can be the morale boosters, right? They need some morale in D.C. right now, so he wants to be used for that. He says, the soldiers are tired. They're already tired physically. They're away from home, and many are anxious due to the political tensions and to the COVID possibilities. So here's what I want to do as we wrap this up this morning. Again, I'm going to ask you just to pray as you're comfortable. We're going to ask you to come and kneel here at the altar just like we did last week. I think there's something about just going before the Lord on bended knee, posturing ourselves before him in humility that kind of maybe sets our souls and sets us in a position of praying. Again, you may stay right where you are standing. You may even choose to sit down during this time. We're not going to tarry long, but I'm going to invite you just to come right now to pray, just to kneel before the Lord this morning. And we're going to pray for these requests that Brent gave and also for our nation this week as we have this election process. So let's just go before our God this morning, humbling ourselves, whether it's in your posture of a physical body, but certainly in our hearts, as we just come before the one who is over all, right? God is over all. He knows everything that's happening. He knows, again, whichever way you voted and whatever you think about where we're at. Listen, you and I, this is our voice. This is our voice that we raise in the nation today as we come before our God. So would you join me as we just pray together? God, it's in this moment here at Grand Point this morning that we realize that we need to come to you in moments like this, in events like this in our nation, and we need to humbly come before you and ask, oh God, for your will to be done, whatever that means. So this morning, Lord, our voice as citizens, as patriots, as the church, we raise our voice this morning to the God who is over all and just ask, Lord, for your spirit to be poured out into our nation, into our community, into our church, and into our lives this week. Lord, we think of the prayer requests from Brent, one of our chaplains there in Washington right now. We pray for him and all the other chaplains, in fact, all the troops that are gathered there. And we would just ask, Lord, that you would provide this peaceful transfer of leadership and power this week so that their services would not be needed. We ask, Lord, that everything that happens will be done in a manner that would be civil, would be God-honoring, and would bring great pride once again to our nation. But we pray, God, also for the situation in which they're gathering. There's this COVID thing that's happening in these gatherings of the troops and their close proximity. God, we pray a protection over them and against them from the COVID and from being infected so that they could be fully alert and strong and well and healthy to serve our country at this time. We pray for the chaplains that are there and pray that they would be able to build the morale, not only with a raha kind of a thing, but with the very presence of God and His Spirit that they would be able to bring into this in some manner and somewhere. So we pray for Brent and the other chaplains as they're gathered there this week, and just pray that all over that area in D.C. this week, that there would be this sense of God's presence doing something new, doing something great, bringing about a stable environment once again for our nation. And God, my prayer would be that as a church, we would again just be the beacons of light that this world needs so brightly, that we would be able to shine hope and light into the dark and hopeless places of our nation and our community. Thank you so much, Lord, for the privilege to be able to appeal to you with confidence and with absolute trust in who you are, knowing that you will always do well and always do right when we put our trust and our hope in you. And we thank you for that this morning. In Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen, amen. God bless.
Thanks for listening, and we hope you join us for the next message in our Teach Us to Pray series. Connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at GrandPoint.Church, and until next time, remember that you belong here.